welcome, and thanks for joining us for another edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm Eric Pfeiffer from Hoosier Ag Today, and I want to thank you for once again making us the most listened to farm radio network in Indiana. We pride ourselves on bringing you the latest farm news, weather, and market information, so that's what we'll do on today's show. Andy Eubank has market analysis on the way. In the news, CJ Miller and I will have a harvest update from Southeast Indiana. We'll tell you about more layoffs at John Deere, and we'll have a preview of the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast with a candidate for Lieutenant Governor. And Blue Jackets will invade downtown Indy this week for the National FFA Convention. Plenty on that coming up on today's show. Let's begin with the weather. We've made tremendous harvest progress so far, and Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says this harvest window will stay open in his Seed Genetics Direct harvest weather forecast. He has no precipitation whatsoever in that forecast. None. Nada. Zilch. From now through Tuesday afternoon across Indiana.
We have high pressure sitting over the southeastern United States for the finish of this week, for the weekend and early next week. Flow around that high comes from the southwest. It's going to be warm. We have full sunshine, excellent evaporation as we move through this weekend, through the first part of next week. I think clouds will start to increase on Tuesday morning.
Martin is watching the remains of a weather system from the Four Corners region and Central Plains this weekend kick out across the Corn Belt next week.
I think that's going to be where the clouds come from Tuesday afternoon to Tuesday evening. I won't rule out some spits and sprinkles, anywhere from a few hundredths to maybe 2, 3, 4 tenths or so, mostly from I-70 north in Indiana. That is going to be gone by the time we get to sunrise on Wednesday morning. In my mind, that's the only threat of rain.
Martin says we'll finish next week dry, but cooler air will prevail Wednesday and Thursday.
That cool air running into the warmer air that has been here for the week prior is likely going to give us some cloud cover, especially over southern Indiana. I'm leaving precipitation out at this point. The air moderates very quickly then. By the time we get to Friday the 25th, we're back to well above normal temperatures, and we stay sunny, warm, and dry through the 26th, 27th, and into the week of the 28th.
Martin has his full Indiana farm forecast coming up in just a little while here on the weekend show. You can also find it in written form at HoosierAgToday.com, brought to you by Seed Genetics Direct. Election Day is rapidly approaching, and here in Indiana, one of the biggest races on the ballot, for agriculture anyway, is this governor race, and that's because the lieutenant governor serves as the Secretary of Agriculture and oversees the Department of Agriculture.
Time to give agriculture a seat at the table again. I'm going to tell you this right now. Terry Gooden gets elected as lieutenant governor. Agriculture is going to get its voice back in Indiana.
That's Terry Gooden, lieutenant governor candidate on the Democrat ticket. You'll find his name on the ballot with his running mate, Jennifer McCormick. We discussed a number of ag-related topics on the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast, available now wherever you listen to podcasts. The Indiana Corn Growers Association and Indiana Soybean Alliance are supporting a bill this legislative session that would incentivize retailers to install infrastructure to sell higher blends of ethanol to consumers. Gooden says not only would he support the bill.
I'm going to see whatever you folks bring to the table, say here's what we would like to have, and I'm going to double it. I'm going to say, okay, let's look bigger than that. Let's look at a bigger picture. And I think in Indiana in the past, what the legislature has done is they've tried to do things on the cheap. Okay, you can't do things on the cheap, because if you do it on the cheap, you always have to come back and redo it, right? If agriculture does good in Indiana, that means our small communities do good. When our small communities do good in Indiana, that means our bigger communities do good, and that means the state of Indiana does good.
Indiana Farm Bureau President Randy Crone joined us on the podcast and asked Gooden about farmland property taxes. Here was part of his response.
Here's what I don't understand. We will go out and we'll recruit factories that will come in and pay people $12, $13 an hour and give them thousands and thousands of dollars of tax abatements. How come we're not treating our farmers the same way? Because that field is a factory for that farmer, just like that building that's sitting downtown employing so many folks or making the hubcaps, right? So how come farmers aren't treated equally when it comes to taxation and as we move forward? So that's going to be a huge part of it. But let's be clear here. Our opponents are not serious about the property tax issue and the property tax crisis because they created it.
We are still working to align schedules with Gooden's opponents on the Republican side so we can have them on the Indiana Ag Policy Podcast as well. You can listen to the podcast at HoosierAgToday.com, in the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app, or just wherever you listen to podcasts. Election Day is November 5th. Get out and vote. John Deere has announced that they plan to lay off an additional 287 workers, that according to the Des Moines Register. However, the company insists these jobs are not being moved to Mexico. They say that it's due to reduced demand for the products produced at those facilities. They're not related to production moves. Deere had already announced the layoffs of more than 600 employees at three production plants in Illinois and Iowa, as well as an unannounced number of salaried employees at its corporate level. The company also said it plans to move the manufacturing of skid steer loaders and compact track loaders from its Dubuque, Iowa facility to Mexico by the end of 2026. Now, back in September, former President Donald Trump said that if he's reelected, he'll impose a 200% tariff on John Deere's imports if the company follows through with its plan to move that production to Mexico. You can read more on this, find the story, HoosierAgToday.com. More to come here in the way of news on the weekend show, and Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin's Indiana Farm Forecast on the way. Right now, it's time to check in on the markets. It's been a mostly lower week for the grain complex. Let's check in with Andy Eubank now for some analysis.
All right, thanks, Eric. And on Friday, sharp losses in the soybean and wheat markets. Corn a little lower, too. When I spoke with Brian Basting of Advanced Trading in the middle of the trading day, corn and beans were hovering just below even, and that sell-off in soybeans accelerated after we spoke. Wheat, though, was sharply lower, and I asked Brian if that was contributing to losses in corn and beans.
It's always a volatile market around harvest time, and we're seeing that this year. I think the wheat market is just looking at a lack of demand. We're seeing more improvement in Argentina than we've seen weather-wise. The last few weeks have been in a drought. So they're seeing some good rainfall down there. And we also saw some rainfall across some dry areas of Russia. That had been an area of concern for the market also as planting had got underway here in the northern hemisphere. And we just don't have that demand push in the wheat that we sometimes see this time of year. China, for example, came in last year at this time, and we saw some good sales of soft wheat to China. We are not seeing that this year. So that's a demand note. And I did overlook one thing, that we're looking for some rain also this weekend, Andy, out west in the U.S., out in western Kansas, eastern Colorado, Texas Panhandle, that area that had been quite dry. So I think it's all just kind of a combination of things. And as you said a moment ago, spilling over into the row crops, corn and beans, we're seeing a really rapid harvest pace, Andy, here in 2024, maybe historically fast in some areas. Beans are wrapping up in many areas here, and with the wide open weather we're expected to see over the next several days, a good chunk of the corn could be gone too. But I would encourage your listeners here as they begin to wrap up harvest, Andy, just a second to share some thoughts on marketing. We just really want to get control of these bushels, some record yields being seen in many cases. I just suggest that you get a marketing plan in place to get a full underneath these bushels, leave the upside open. Every year is different. We don't know what's going to happen moving forward as we harvest our crops or just starting the planting season in South America, in Brazil and Argentina. So just a thought there to share. But I think it's just a little bit of harvest pressure here sneaking in on corn and beans too, along with that sharp sell-off in wheat, as you said.
Will that harvest pressure continue, you think, next week?
Well, some of it may depend on the export business. We've seen some good export flashes last week.
Market analysis from economist Brian Basting with Advanced Trading. Brian's number 309-664-2314. Settlements from Friday trade down 2 on Dease corn, 404 and 3 quarters. March 419, a loss of 2 and a quarter. May down 2 and a quarter, 426 and a half. After Brian and I spoke, beans really plummeted, finishing down 18 and 3 quarters for November, 970. In January, dipping to 982 and 3 quarters, down 15 and a quarter. A 16 and 3 quarter cent loss on Dease wheat, 572 and 3 quarters. Meat markets higher. December live cattle, 187.32, up $1.15. December lean hogs, up 15 cents at 77.82. You're up to date now on the markets. Much more still to come on the weekend show. I'm Andy Eubank. This is Hoosier Ag This Week.
The fields of green have turned to gold. That means drivers are sharing the road with Indiana's farmers as they work to harvest their crops. That's why Hoosier Ag Today, the Indiana State Department of Agriculture, and Keystone Cooperative are working together to remind motorists to be patient with large, slow-moving farm equipment and vehicles. Farmers and ag workers have a job to do, and they know that drivers have somewhere to be, and they want to help you get where you need to go. Do your part and make safety a priority. Please take extra precautions when you see that slow-moving vehicle sign on combines, tractors, and grain trucks, and be alert, be slow, and be focused. If we do these things, we'll all get home safely this harvest season. Find more tips for safe travel this harvest season online at isda.in.gov. Brought to you by Hoosier Ag Today, the Indiana State Department of Agriculture, and Keystone Cooperative.
Well above normal temperatures for the most part here in the Hoosier State over the next 10 days. I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast Weekend Edition. As harvest continues to roll on, there's not much that's going to stand in the way of a very fast harvest continuing. Beans seem to be done in a large part of the state. Corn is actively getting cut everywhere as well. And as we look at the next 10 days, we don't have a lot of moisture in here. Let's take a look at our forecast update and run through it. Let's start with the weekend. We are sunny. We are warm. We are dry. Excellent southwest flow coming up across the eastern Corn Belt due to high pressure sitting over the southeastern United States. It's a beautiful setup. Good drying breezes out there. Temperatures above normal. There is a minor disturbance that originated in the northern plains and upper Midwest over the past couple of days, trying to drag into northern parts of Michigan. The UP is seeing a little bit of moisture, but it does not sag southward at all. Why? Because this high is blocking everything over the southeastern United States. I don't have a problem with that. We're just saying there's a little bit of cloud cover up north, but that is all. System in the Four Corners region really ramping up this weekend, putting down some significant moisture in New Mexico, eastern Colorado, and then eventually into the Central Plains, so in wheat country. Now, it's not going to be nearly what they want out there, but there's some moisture that direction. We mention that because the remains of that system try to move eastward through Monday and into early Tuesday. By the time they make it to the Indiana-Illinois line, there's not much moisture left to work with. I think we see clouds in Indiana through Tuesday, maybe a few spits and sprinkles, but not much more than that. I'm more interested in moisture that's coming together along the leading edge of cool air that comes out of the Canadian prairies across the upper Midwest Tuesday into Wednesday. I think that cool air and the moisture associated with it does push into Indiana, Michigan, and Ohio for Wednesday. I'm looking for scattered showers anywhere from a few hundreds to a couple of tenths. Coverage will be about 60% of the Hoosier State. More clouds with this than anything else. I think your Wednesday turns out to be very cloudy, breezy, and cooler. The cool air parks for most of Thursday before easing and pushing off to the east. The rest of next week, a Thursday afternoon, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, and even Monday the following week, we're back to sunny, warm, and dry conditions. When I say warm, remember, our normals are pulling down every day, so we're going to be cooler than what we were probably this last time around, but still well above normal on temperatures. I think the harvest window is going to be exceedingly wide open through the end of next week and into the week of the 28th. At this point, I think we may make it all the way till maybe the 30th into the 31st until we see some moisture. So Halloween may be a little bit damp, and then another system toward the 2nd into the 3rd. So that's what we're paying attention to now. Nearby, no problems at all. I'm Ryan Martin.
When it comes to their customers, Seed Genetics Direct can be a little nosy. They want to know where you live, your farm's geography and soil type, and even your environmental challenges. After all, Seed Genetics Direct uses more than 40 company-owned and third-party research locations throughout Indiana and Ohio to test their corn and soybean lineups. And with that many research locations, there's at least one similar to your farm that will help Seed Genetics Direct guide you on the path to growing success. Value, knowledge, performance, it's in their genetics. Seed Genetics Direct. You are dialed in to Hoosier Ag This Week from Hoosier Ag Today. Eric Pfeiffer here. Thank you for joining us this weekend. The theme this harvest season has been solid yields for earlier planted corn and soybeans, while later planted crops have taken a bit of a hit, especially soybeans. Pioneer agronomist Jason Geis says that's true of his territory as well in southeast Indiana.
Yields have been very, very good on both corn and soybeans. certainly late last week, we started to dive into more of the later May crop. And I would say that I've heard that yields are starting to maybe dip off a little bit from that early planting window, but growers are still very pleased. But yeah, certainly beans. I mean, we just didn't have much rain at all there in August. We did not have the moisture to fill those pods out like we would have hoped. So the later planted beans are maybe dipping off a little bit more. And then as we get into fuller maturity beans, like the group fours, they're starting to dip off a little bit more than some of the mid group threes.
While we're still in the thick of this year's harvest, Geis knows you're already thinking about next year. He encourages you to reflect on your weed control program. Were you happy with it? Or do you need to make some adjustments, like introducing different modes of action to help battle water hemp? He also encourages you to think about your P&K.
I hear from growers, boy, I did not expect these yields. This is way more than what I expected. Are we matching our fertility program to replace those nutrients? You know, if we go 2 to 3 years where I feel like growers have had above expectations on yield, are we replacing the P&K that we've been taking out of those fields with these bigger yields than what we expected?
Hear the full hat interview with Geis at HoosierAgToday.com. You can get in touch with your Pioneer representative to start putting a plan together for next year by visiting pioneer.com/findmyrep. The 2025 American Farm Bureau Convention is right around the corner, and this year they're headed
deep in the heart of Texas.
That's right, deep in the heart of Texas, San Antonio to be exact, January 24th through the 29th. Nikki Jones of Idea Ag says there's a lot to see and do at the convention.
We have several workshops and general sessions. And with the opening of general registration, we are talking about Eric Bowles. He is our keynote speaker. And Eric Bowles is the CEO and founder of the Game Changers, Inc., a leadership training and development company. But he might better be known for his role as wide receiver for the Green Bay Packers and New York Jets. So he's got a lot to say. We also have our lineup of workshops with all manner of topics.
Jones says it's more than just workshops and general sessions. There's something for everyone.
On our Cultivation Center stage, we have our TED-style talks where you're going to hear from different speakers on different ag-related topics. But we also have the YFNR Discussion Meet Final Four on that stage, as well as programming during the trade show. We're going to have all manner of agribusiness companies there, and they're going to have their experts there, as well as their top innovations, and they're ready to talk with folks.
There are a couple of ways to reserve your spot in San Antonio.
To register, you can go directly through your State Farm Bureau, or you can go to annualconvention.fb.org and hit the Register Now button.
Again, that's annualconvention.fb.org. The Indiana Farm Bureau State Convention is coming up as well, December 12th through the 14th at the French Lick Resort in French Lick. You can get registered at the INFB website. There's a link on our website as well, HoosierAgToday.com. Next week, downtown Indianapolis will be just inundated with blue corduroy jackets from all around the country. The 97th National FFA Convention and Expo will hit the Indiana Convention Center in downtown Indy, and over 100 Indiana FFA members from all across the state will be competing. You can find a list of all of those competing at HoosierAgToday.com. Now, after spending a year as an Indiana FFA state officer, the goal of this young man is to become a national FFA officer. CJ Miller has more.
I hope if I'm elected as a national officer, I can encourage more members to take full advantage of opportunities and really strive and build goals for their FFA journeys.
And that's Carson Rudd of Carroll County. He was the reporter for the Indiana FFA officer team just last year. He says being a full-time officer has prepared him to become a national FFA officer.
We are one of about 5 or 6 states that allow their state officers to take a gap year from school in order to better serve our members. And I think that experience alone, being able to say I was basically a 9-to-5 employee of our state association, has prepared me with those skills of being in an office while also going out and engaging with members in chapter visits, going to chapter banquets, and hosting conferences at the Leadership Center. And that reflects a lot onto what national office will look like.
Carson says he's ready for the commitment and the huge amount of travel that comes with the job.
It's not uncommon that you go weeks or even a month before seeing some of your teammates as national officers because you're in different states at different times. And you might come together for an industry visit or a training that National FFA puts on for the growth and development of the team. So yeah, it'll be a little bit different.
Carson says he wouldn't have the leadership ability, nor would he have the confidence to want to become a national FFA officer if it weren't for the skills he's learned from the organization over the past 7 years.
If you would have told seventh grade me that I would have to be traveling the state, giving workshops or going to chapter banquets in parts of the state that I've never been to and giving a 15-minute speech, I would have called you crazy. But because of the experiences that FFA gives its students, it really helps push you to always strive for that next level of development in your journey and in those skills like leadership and communication.
The new officer team will be announced during the final session of the 97th National FFA Convention and Expo coming up on Saturday, October 26th. It's at Lucas Oil Stadium in downtown Indianapolis. I'm CJ Miller.
And here at Hoosier Ag Today, we want to say good luck to Carson on his quest to become a national FFA officer. And we want to say good luck to all of the over 100 Indiana FFA students competing next week in Indianapolis. We will be there in downtown Indy to bring you all of the action from the National FFA Convention. And we have more on the convention. CJ Miller has an interview with the president of the National FFA coming up next here on Hoosier Ag This Week.
Ag Bioscience, the number one ag tech podcast globally, is now available on video. Hear the latest from innovators in food, animal health, plant science, ag tech, and agriculture.
The idea of instilling trust and building relationships, all things that I think innately as human beings we know, but somehow, some way in business, those don't often make the same threshold that an income statement balance sheet would.
You know, that's a pretty powerful observation. And I'll kind of reference this time where we were together over the last 3 days. The conversations, we had hours and hours of conversation, and very few of those minutes were spent on the financials and the business decisions, the X's and O's. It was really spent on how do we continue to build relationships and create an environment where we are honoring our customer and we are helping farmers be successful.
Get more episodes online at agrinovusindiana.com. Click on podcasts. Also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Thank you again for joining us here on Hoosier Ag This Week. I'm CJ Miller with Hoosier Ag Today, and more than 70,000 students, all wearing blue corduroy jackets, will soon be making their way to downtown Indianapolis this week for the 97th National FFA Convention and Expo. It's at the Indiana Convention Center and Lucas Oil Stadium starting Wednesday, the 23rd. It wraps up with the final session next Saturday, the 26th. Joining us now is Amara Jackson. She's the National FFA president. She's also from Michigan and had previously served as president of Michigan FFA. First of all, Amara, let's talk about this year's convention and expo. What are some of the highlights and new features for FFA members during this year's big event?
Yeah, well, first, thanks so much for having me on today. It's really exciting to be thinking about national convention coming up here in just a couple days. Some of my favorite highlights would be the student showcase stage, where students have the opportunity to share their research and their different agricultural projects. Students can come and learn how they can make an impact in agriculture while those other students are presenting their projects to a panel of experts. The sessions are one of my favorite things to go to at National Convention. During that time, students are getting awarded for different leadership and career development events, agri-science fair projects, proficiency awards, you name it. We're probably awarding it. So it's a great time to learn what kind of project or contest you'd like to be involved in next year while watching other students get recognized at a national level. So those are my top two favorite highlights that go on at National Convention. And I know my teammates and I are really excited to highlight those students on stage.
What I love most about the convention, Amara, is that you have so many colleges and universities represented at the event, like Purdue, like Michigan State, like your alma mater, Oklahoma State. And not only do young students have that opportunity to feel out so many of these different
colleges and trade schools and universities, but so many different ag businesses on hand, like Corteva Agriscience will be there. That's what I love most is about connecting these students with those opportunities, Amira.
I couldn't agree more. That expo is a great chance for students who maybe are unsure of their next step after high school to kind of figure out and have conversations in the agriculture industry of what could be that next step for them. That is the best place to walk around and have conversations with like-minded people to ensure your future success.
The National FFA organization announced that you've now reached over 1 million members for the first time ever, which is an incredible milestone. The fact that it's reached over 1 million members, what does that tell you about the organization and its appeal to young students?
You know, something that I think has contributed to this growth is we're continuing to ensure that our programs and events are relevant and of interest to our student body. So as young adults continue to change and have different interests, we're continuing as an organization to match those interests to ensure that they're finding something within FFA that meets their needs and continues to allow them to expand on their interests.
My guest is Amira Jackson, National FFA President, here on Hoosier Ag Today. And it was last year backstage, you had just been announced National FFA President, and you said you wouldn't be president if it weren't for your sister pushing you all those years ago to become a member back in junior high school of the Corunna, Michigan FFA.
Yeah, and it's true. I wouldn't be the woman I am without her encouraging me to join FFA, and I will never be able to say thank you enough to her and all the people that supported me throughout my FFA journey. Again, I would not be the person or the leader or the friend that I am if it wasn't for my journey in this blue jacket. And so to all those supporters, I can never say thank you enough because I'm just very grateful and I'm continue to count my blessings for the opportunities that I've had.
Amira, what advice do you have for the 70,000 students coming into the convention in downtown Indianapolis this week?
I encourage you to do as much as you can possible. Soak up each and every experience. Find some time to go to the expo. Find some time to go to multiple sessions. Find some time to explore and to meet people. This is a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, and it almost feels like a family reunion. It's a great opportunity to connect with people from different states. There's no reason we can't walk away with more friends than what we came with. And so I encourage you to just be present, even when your feet might hurt from walking, and just continue to enjoy and find ways to get involved and engage.
And Hoosier Ag Today will be there all week long to share some of the stories of the FFA members throughout the course of the convention and expo. And we'll certainly be looking for you as well, Amira. Once again, Amira Jackson, National FFA President, and we'll see you at the 97th Convention and Expo this week in downtown Indianapolis. Amira, thank you so much for joining us here today on Hoosier Ag Today. I appreciate it.
Thank you so much. This was fun. It was great to talk to you again.
And that does it for this week's edition of Hoosier Ag This Week. If you missed any part of today's show, you can listen to the podcast version. It's at HoosierAgToday.com. Also, download the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app. It's a free download for iPhone and Android. For Eric Pfeiffer, Andy Eubank, and our Hoosier Ag Today chief meteorologist, Ryan Martin, I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.